This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Yeah! Woo! Here we go. Here we go. Man, God bless. Welcome in, everybody. Let's get your heads right on a Wednesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. So good to be here with you this morning. I am just as fired up as can be. I think we all are, and just kind of a big, deep exhale. First one's out of the way. I think the players probably feel the same way. Just get that first one done, and let's go win another one tonight. But you're listening to Ben and Woods. We are on 97.3 The Fan, and no loose, oily stool from the Padres last night. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a commercial that runs right before our show every single day that talks about this guy's bowels and his loose, oily stool. And it's like the last commercial before you hear our intro. And really, it's
every day.
And really, it's such a great lead-in for, you know, who we are and what our show represents. But you didn't see any no problems last night, Ben, at Petco Park. But we have so much to talk about today. So much praise to hand out, certainly.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do. But any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food. But EPI is manageable. Great. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and speak with your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie. I mean,
just live through it like everybody else.
It's very cool.
Every morning.
At 5:59. That's what I'm like. I'm sitting here with my headphones on. I'm like, all right, just man, let's kill it today.
Clearing the throat, getting ready.
Do you have loose, oily stool? Good Lord. So that's our lead-in. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindl. He's our executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
And we've got Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning. Sending out virtual hugs to everybody in San Diego right now.
I'm going
to
give you a lot of credit for last night's win. You get a lot of credit for it, man. If you missed it yesterday, it was actually a tier one that came up with this idea. Did you know that? It was not my idea.
Really? It seemed like a Woods sort of idea yesterday.
Well, you know what's cool is when your audience knows your show, and then they come up with ideas, and you go, yeah, dude, that's a perfect, perfect idea. And I think it was, I'll find it and give you credit, because you were, it was a great idea. And I remembered it when we started the program yesterday. I said, oh, let's keep the good vibes going. And for it, because we all know Ben does not like to give hugs. He said, live on the air, you don't hug your own kids. So I said, well, let's give hugs. Let's make you uncomfortable for charity, and we'll give money away. I'll donate $5 for every hug. And so we did, and we raised $300 for the King of the Hill Foundation yesterday. All you had to do was hug people.
You'd literally be bankrupt if you were at the game yesterday, because they went to the Loft, and
holy
it was
crap.
Just
everyone wanted to hug you
after hug after hug at Petco Park before the game yesterday.
It's so good, man. I'm so good. And now you're breaking out of your hug shell, and I watched you hug. You looked great doing it. You really did. You look like you were an old pro at it.
I mean, the mechanics are not overly complicated in terms
for
of
you.
I can make things awkward,
yeah,
but I'm
I
better.
You did a great job.
I guess I'm better at hugging than the old, like a bro hug, where you got to start with the handshake, and the pull in, and then the Then the hug, that trips me up every time. But the straight hug, not bad. Not bad.
Brandon wants to know, what was cheaper, the drink tab or Ben's hugs tab? Ben's hugs tab was $300. But let me say this. The guy that came up with the idea, he was there yesterday, and I can't find his DM. But he suggested it, and I said, yeah, I'm going to run with it. Forgot to give him credit. But he's like, dude, I'm so glad you did it. And he slid $200 bills across the table to me and said, donate these. So I did. And then you gave whatever, 25 hugs or whatever. Wait, 20 hugs for another $100. So we did $300 to Michael King. And then the bar tab was $250, tipped a hundo on top of that, $350. And then Ben paid half of that, which was very mensch-like of you.
Yeah, we're not making out like bandits so far in the playoffs, at least financially.
Speak for yourself. I hit 3 out of 4 games yesterday,
oh, nice.
So I'm actually doing quite well.
You're going with the road teams, apparently.
I took, they were all getting a run yesterday, so I hit 3 out of 4. The only one I lost was the, I thought the Brewers would beat, a weary and worn out Mets.
I told
you
I liked the Mets yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
So. Oh, man, we have so much to talk about today. First of all, thanks to Baja Ricks for having us out yesterday. It was a great time. This is not an indictment on Baja Ricks. This is an indictment on Ben and Woods. We just are better in here. This is where I feel a lot more comfortable being able to do the kind of show that I like to do for our audience out there. It's loud. There's nothing they can do about that. You had helicopters flying in. You had trolley. They were doing construction on the trolley line. You had guys unloading kegs right behind us. You had the audio dropping off. I mean, it was tough. It's tough.
Counterpoint lobster.
We have That's
no
true.
Lobster in studio.
There's no lobster today.
And I miss that. I do miss that element of the show at Baja Ricks.
We have rally roaches everywhere, though. Benny, Pauly, did you take a picture of his carnage? His carnage plate?
Oh, I don't know that I got a final shot of the plate.
I mean,
it was stacked like a foot high, though.
Well, I mean, you're going to get, there's a lot of shells involved. It's not like I ate that much. I mean, once you get the meat out, it's probably about 4 ounces of food total.
And it's 4 ounces?
I mean, there's a lot of shellage and, you know, just a little bit of meat inside. That's how shellfish works.
Go to a fish market. Go to their dumpster. Open it up. Take out the biggest handful you can find. Put it on a plate. That's what it looked like on Ben's plate. You crushed that. My wife is in the chat, and she did arrive home safely last night from Hawaii.
Welcome back, Hannah.
Looks nice and tan and brought some.
Well, she went nice and tan.
She
thanks
did.
To the spray
thanks
tan.
Thanks to the spray tan. But now she came back. Looks really good. It's great to be home. Felt great, too. Felt great to have her home. Real good. You know what I mean?
I can imagine.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's good to have her
someone
home.
To watch the kids. Feels real good.
Somebody to fold that laundry. Man, I'm telling you, that laundry was piling up, Benny, to the likes of which it took me yesterday. When I got home, I told you guys I was going to be full of anxiety.
Oh, she just said,
anxiety.
Did you talk about my tan? Yeah.
I did talk about your tan. Tan mom, I did. Yeah. The day you left, I knew you were on a plane. So we were watching, I was watching the playoff games yesterday, and I kept looking over at that laundry basket of the kids' clothes, and I went, bro, it's not going to fold itself. Like, at some point, you're going to have to dump it out and just get after it. So I did, then it took a good solid 45 minutes of nothing but folding and matching. And then you get to the point, you had two kids, so you look and you're like, who's this one?
Yeah, they're kind of similar sizes, and you're holding it up and going, oh, this could be a little bit big for the smaller one or a little bit small for the bigger one, and I'm not sure which one it matches to. I totally know that feeling.
Like I tweeted the other day, I'm looking forward to her return. I've got some great ideas about how we can run a more efficient household, and I look forward to sharing my ideas with her. Like, number one, maybe a nice little B or T on the tag, and then that way I know, oh, that's Bo's. I can even help more if I know, you know, who belongs to what.
Make a PowerPoint presentation.
I don't know how to do PowerPoint.
Well, Pauly will host.
I've never done PowerPoint. I was thinking about that the other day, too. If I can make it through life with never having to learn PowerPoint or Excel, if I'm on my deathbed and I never had to do one of either, I feel like that's
be
a
sad.
Pretty
you're
successful
like,
life.
You're 87, you're on your last legs, and he goes, Woods, we really need you to learn Excel.
No
at this
chance.
Point.
And I'll say, bro, I'm this close. I am this close to dead. If I can get to my deathbed without having to do either of those things, I feel like that's a life well lived. You can put it on my urn.
Never
had to do PowerPoint or Excel. And I feel like I've done a good job there. But no, it's great to have her home. It's great to just get back to normal. And now, today, I get to go down and party with everybody.
Yeah, you missed out
on
all the fun yesterday. Paul and I were down there, saw tons of tier ones, which was great. Shout out to everybody who came by, said hello at the ballpark. Really was a very, very fun evening. Obviously, we'll talk all about the games and stuff. I had a fun moment. I was in the press box with some of my television colleagues from San Diego, just chatting up before the game, you know, waiting for the game to start.
Shocker.
And there's Darnay and Julian and
all my peeps.
Yeah, and Jake from Channel 8, and they were all
Jake and Troy and Julian down there.
And I noticed you didn't mention Troy.
Troy I saw in the lunchroom, but he wasn't sitting with us at the time. But you know,
Fox,
we're talking,
five, they're elite. That's
I was
why.
Talking about how much Woods he loves the bit. We love Darnay. We love
it's
Julian.
Not a bit. I love those guys.
I know. And then you go, we love Jake, and Jake goes, no. Jake goes, Woods has no idea who I am.
I know Jake. I love Jake. Are you kidding? Did Jake go to fantasy camp?
No.
He has not yet, but I know Jake. He's got little facial hair. Yeah, I love Jake.
That's Jake.
Sharp.
Yeah.
Sharp dude.
Very sharp dude. Yeah. As is Darnay. As is Julian, who was voted best dressed sportscaster, apparently, in San Diego as well.
You just missed out on that one. Just missed out.
I said I was voted most Costco dressed sportscaster in San Diego, Julian.
Dude, he is, man. He's sharp as hell. It's here's what. Now, Julian's a diminutive guy.
And it's like, okay, so I can't get the blue seersucker that
none of us are walking into
a department store. Hey, where's the slim fit?
Where are those slim fit shirts that, like, you know, they. I know exactly. I mean, I can see him in my mind's eye. And yeah, his pants, they come up to like here.
Yeah.
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 But he looks cool.
He had
doing
a shirt
it.
That only buttoned like halfway down.
Yes.
Size 30
waist.
size 30 waist. Like, you can buy better clothes the smaller and skinnier you are. And, you know, I get it. When big guys.
The runway models are never.
Correct.
Yeah, my size, that's for sure.
When guys like us try to. When I put a suit on and a button-down shirt, it like folds over the top. It just doesn't. I don't feel sharp in it. I just don't. And those guys look sharp, so I'm not surprised he won best dressed. And we can work on it with you. Get in the top three at least.
I know
next
you
year.
Can, but the cost associated with like the you know custom clothes and everything, I'm not quite ready to. Make that leap, Woods.
It just kills you. I'm
it really
sorry.
Really makes a difference, my friend.
Well, see, and that's the thing, man, is yesterday I was, look, like I love picking my kids up from school. I love spending time with them. I did have yesterday a little bit of the just, oh, man, everybody's down there, and I wish I was, but we had a great time. You know, the cool thing was getting to watch a playoff game with my son, who is six and loves the Padres so much and loves baseball so much. But I let him stay up for the whole game. And to be able to watch it with him, and I told him, I go, buddy, this is your third playoff run at six. Benny, when did you hit your third playoff run as a Padres fan?
That would be 1998.
1998.
Yeah. There was 84 when I was a kid, 96, which lasted two games, basically three games. And then 1998 was the third run of playoff lifetime.
And that span was 14 years.
I was, from the first one. Now, I waited, you know, a good 4 or 5 years going to Padres games before 1984. So it's like took nearly two decades to get three playoff runs.
And I told him, I said, that's why these games are so important. Don't take this for granted at all, my friend. So he was way into it last night. But I'll tell you, he doesn't get nervous. I go, are you nervous? He goes, no. And I go, why? And he goes, I mean, I think they're going to win. And I said, oh, okay. And to have that, like, innocence, you know, and maybe he doesn't understand or grasp the magnitude, or maybe he's just used to the Padres being pretty good since he's been alive, which, by the way, a testament to...
I mean, were you really not that confident, though?
I was just, Paulie, I had to force vomit down.
You have, it's I natural got, to be nervous during the postseason,
dude,
but...
My anxiety spiked when they got home from school, and I got dinner for us. You know what I ordered? I ordered a Cobb salad.
Really?
And I ate maybe 3 bites.
I didn't eat dinner at all. I lost 2 pounds yesterday despite all the lobster I had in the morning because once the game came around, I mean, they even had free food in the press box.
Yeah,
and I was
passed.
Like, I just don't have an appetite. Too nervous.
Paulie, I had to, at one point, I was lying on my bed And I go, and I was like, you got to force it down. My anxiety was through the roof, man. I wanted it so bad. Just wanted to get it off to a good start, because that was the game where you looked at and you thought, yeah, we got to win this, man. These guys just got off a plane 15 minutes ago. They have no starting pitcher. So we'll get into the game, man. But it was great. It was a great night all around. I know I missed out on that, but I'll get there tonight and do our thing.
All right.
Cigarettes, Drew. I had the pack.
Nice. You never had to go out for your Ben Affleck moment.
I didn't dip in last night.
All right. We will come back, set the menu. I want to talk a little bit about the pregame as well. Just a really nice scene down at Petco Park yesterday. And, of course, we will get into the 4-0 win over the Atlanta Braves in game one of the National League Wild Card Series. It is all coming up. Tier ones, good morning to you. It is always great to start our day on a victory Wednesday. Ben and Woods, Paul on San Diego's number one sports station. Kelly's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Our buddy John Flynn from down the hall came by before the show started and said, did you see Joe Musgrove during the starting lineup introductions when they had everyone on the field? Now, he was out in the pen, I think, or when they showed him on camera, wasn't lined up with his teammates, just giving that nod and everybody going crazy.
They were all watching King, I think.
I think they were watching King warm up as a, you know, a unit, a starting pitching unit out together. And that was a great moment. It was really fun, the pregame ceremonies yesterday. My personal
must be nice
favorite moment, though, was the Ha-Sung Kim introduction, when, you know, everyone knows he's not going to be able to participate in this postseason, but the love that he got from Padres fans standing there next to Yu Darvish on the first base line as they introduced all the staff and then the bench players and the reserves. I thought that was a really fun moment before the game that helped set the tone. Paulie, did you have any favorite pregame moments yesterday?
You know who had one of the loudest introductions, oddly, was Victor Rodriguez.
Not surprised.
When they mentioned the coaching staff and the trainers and all of that, I go, whoa, who was that? And it was Victor Rodriguez, because I was like, wow, that place was going nuts last night.
The guy has changed the entire offense under his watch this year. They really are a different offense entirely.
I'm just not used to hitting coaches getting their flowers here in San Diego.
Not here. I mean, that was a one and done, two and done at the most gig. And Victor is one of those guys. We talked about it off air this morning. You know, the better your team plays, other teams want to come after your coaches. That's how it happens. That's how it happens in every sport. And, oh, you got a hot assistant, or you got a hitting coach, or a phenomenal pitching coach. Like, I think those two guys are you know, near the top of the priority list.
The crowd went insane for both Victor and Ruben yesterday. Yep. It was really cool.
I mean, look, I'll tell you how I felt from watching from afar on television. When they started the broadcast and they showed the crowd, and it looked like something out of Europe. You know, the smoke going off, the towels are waving, everyone's on their feet.
The towels, I know it's been done, it's almost required. Yeah. It's a good look, though.
It's a great
postseason rally towels. Paulie's waving his now. You're hitting the microphone, you can hear it. It's just a good look. just smacking the microphone.
But I'll tell you, you know, it means a lot, I'm sure, that the Padres fans, they get there on time, they show up, They're loud. They're in their seats and ready to rage. And they were talking about it on the broadcast. They were talking about the decibel level, how loud it was in that place. Now, I wasn't there. I hopefully get to experience the same thing tonight. But, man, it was awesome. It looked
loud
incredible.
Before the game. It got louder in the top half of the first with King just already in a groove. And then when my man hit that home run in the bottom of the first, gave him the Manny lean, the place exploded.
I do think if you're an opposing player and you have some experience going into situations like that, you can either drown it out or channel it like, okay, I've been here before. I hear these people. Let's quiet them. It can motivate you. If you're A.J. Smith Shaver,
oh my God,
and you've only pitched like once in the big leagues all year.
Four innings or something?
You're being asked to, I mean, at the last minute to throw the biggest game of your career. And then they throw you into that environment. You're going to get rattled a little bit. And it was a clear advantage for the Padres to have their own fans and have a rookie pitcher having to take the mound in that situation. And the fans stepped up and made it as uncomfortable and difficult for him as possible and got him out of the game in the second inning. I mean, that had to be, make the pun. That had to be a bummer for Brian Snitker to go to bummer in the second inning. Now, their bullpen, we'll talk about it. Their bullpen actually saved him a little bit yesterday.
100%, man.
With how they performed and ate some innings and kept the Braves in that game long as they did. That was probably the biggest win in a loss for the Braves yesterday, to just get to rest a couple of guys and even have a chance at some point to have a route. I mean, they never did, but they certainly could have, you know, 1-2, bloop and a blast. You know, they were within three most of that game. Never happened, but, you know, their guys, the back end of their bullpen gave them a shot, which is kind of what they needed yesterday in that game.
Yeah, Smith Shaver grew up in my hometown of Colleyville, Texas, Benjamin, and learned that right when he stepped on the mound. And, you know, good for him. It's where Bobby Witt Jr. grew up as well, went to the same high school. Probably Bobby Witt's a little bit older. But, yeah, man.
He's pretty young, too. So
yeah, he is young. Yeah, how old is Bobby Witt? This dude's 21.
Yeah, I think he's older than 21 for sure.
Maybe,
but,
maybe 22?
24.
Oh, 24. Okay. Yeah. So pretty good, churning out some pretty decent. Yeah, and you saw this kid, I mean, thrown into that action. The changeup he threw, jerks and profars, one of the nastiest pitches I've ever seen. It was absolutely disgusting.
I mean, Snitker said he's got good stuff.
He's got really good stuff.
I mean, who knows?
Maybe let's ease him in next year with some starts against the Marlins
that
or
wasn't,
something.
You know, it was never the plan to use him. They were forced into it. They took a shot. And the Padres took advantage. We'll talk about it coming up. Our Padres wrap up, go through all the highlights, and just track that entire game. And hear Jesse's calls, which were great, in our next segment coming up. It is a Big League Wednesday. We will have Adam Jones joining us at 7:35 and Brett Boone at 8:35. I'm sure they were locked into all the playoff action yesterday, so we can talk about the Padres, Braves, and the other three series, which, as you mentioned, Woods, all teams, the worst seeds winning that first game and with a chance. Well, the other three road teams, all with a chance now to end the series on the road in game two today. You weren't that shocked. I wasn't that shocked, but baseball seems surprised that that's the way it played out yesterday.
I could not have loved my day yesterday more, other than not going to Petco Park, but being able to sit home and watch those games yesterday and watch Cole Reagan's pitch and watch Corbin Burns pitch. And it was spectacular baseball yesterday, really down to the wire. A couple of games were just brilliant, brilliant. Framber Valdez did not have it yesterday. We'll talk about all those games. I watched every inning. I don't, you know, they stagger them, so I'm having to flip back and forth, which is the worst. It is the absolute worst, but we made it work, and we'll have all those updates.
And since we're back in studio, we'll bring back some of our usual features. I do have a special category today for Take on Woods coming up at 7:10, and we'll have a baseball playoff-themed edition of Don't Do This coming up at 7:20. So there's your menu. Oh, Rindle Report, too, of course, in our 9 o'clock hour. There's your menu. We will come back with our Padres wrap-up, and as we do most mornings at 6:35, we will talk about what happened last night as the Padres take Game 1 of the National League Wild Card Series over the Braves 4-0. You're listening to Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fam.
I have been waiting with bated breath to hear the Jesse Agler call.
You haven't heard it yet.
I have not heard it yet.
It's a good one. I assume the Tatis one is the one you're most looking forward to.
I mean, all of it.
It's a good one.
I can't wait to dive
into
this game.
Heard it twice this morning already coming in on a national program. So it was good enough that it's making the rounds. But if you missed it last night, we will get all the highlights for you from the 4-0 win coming up. In fact, let's just do that right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino
wins for you when we come back. A scoreless top of the first for Michael King and two men left on base. First pitch, Tatis swings, sends it in the air, very high to left, very deep. Laureano is back, you gotta be kidding me. A long home run! First pitch, first at bat, 2-0. Pitch on the way. Gasioka swings, sends it in the air to right center field. Fairly deep. Harris is over into right now. He'll make the catch. Tagging at third, Cronenworth. No throw from Harris. And a sacrifice fly. Gasioka hits 3-0. All in two strikes. King ready. The pitch is swung on and missed. Strike three. Another 1-2-3 inning for Michael King. And another couple of K's. 10 strikeouts in 6 shutout innings. And after 5.5, it's the Padres 3 and the Braves nothing. 1-0, Urshela swings and skies it into right center. Merrill will call off Fernando. The center fielder makes the catch. A 1-2-3 seventh inning for Michael King, who is shutting out the Atlanta Braves in game 1 of this wild card series. Time to stretch at Petco Park. Padres 3 and the Braves nothing. 1-2 from Adam. Albies at second, 2 outs. The pitch swung on and missed. Strike 3. Came back with the sweeper and got him. No runs, a hit. Albies left at second and 3 more strikeouts for the Braves offense. Here's the 1-2 and Higgy swings, sends it in the air. Deep to left field. Laureano is back. He is at the wall. It's going to go. A career high 17 in the regular season for Kylie Gasioka. And the first Padre hit since the second inning is an add-on homer here in the bottom of the eighth. And they are 1 out away from starting the celebration. Here's a ground ball to third, backhanded by Machado. All the way on the outfield grass. Long throw to first in time. What a play by Manny to end the game. Michael King and the Padres shut out the Braves 4-0. In game 1 of the wild card series. They will go for the sweep here tomorrow night.
For our faithful, man, you know, we knew they were going to show up. We knew they were going to get after it. But this was a really, really electric night. You know, electric scene, really loud. This place gets so loud, and they're just into it. And it's as loud a stadium as we're going to play in, and it's good to have it on our side. You know, relative to the different homers. I mean, you know, that was clearly a big homer in game 2, 3-run homer. But, you know, this one was clearly in front of, you know, a jam-packed house.
Padres get it done as Robert Suarez holds on in the 9th, 4-0 win. And what a, we're just all marveling because we hadn't mentioned earlier that throw by Manny to end the game. I actually did a little math. I had to remember my geometry, my hypotenuses to figure out how far that throw was from Manny. I came up with somewhere in the neighborhood of 160 feet from you know, the outfield grass in foul territory down the line or close to foul territory. Put that in.
He was in shallow left.
Put that in yards. That's the equivalent of a Hail Mary in football. That's how far you have to throw a football from like the 55-yard line to get it to the end zone is what Manny did on a line.
That's the thing.
With a baseball.
A Hail Mary is you go here all the way down and you just hurl it and may the best man win. This one, the way he stopped, the way he composed himself, the way he knew I've got, and he got it by 3 feet.
You don't realize on a baseball field how far that distance is unless you're actually down there and you're looking over at first base and going, wait, he has to throw it that far and try to beat a guy who is sprinting, like a world-class athlete who is sprinting from home to first. And he's got to throw it that far and beat him.
And get it
there. That's like a 55-yard throw.
And get it there you know, quickly on a line. Did it bounce? I approved it.
Not that one. I think they picked it. I think he got it all the way. One of the better throws you're going to see from a third baseman.
And you didn't even see a lot of people. It was just like, that's what you've come to expect from Manny Machado.
Used to it, dude. The fact that that man's living room isn't filled with gold gloves is going to kill me. I'm going to make him one myself if I have to. Just gold spray. He deserves all of it. And again, if you're a starting pitcher or a reliever or whatever, and they hit it to third, you're like, whoo, thank God.
I wonder if we can get one of those on Etsy or something.
Like, we got gold records for ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's get him an Etsy gold glove. I'm sure he'd be really appreciative of some turd from us.
Now, he won a platinum glove in the American League.
He did.
With the Baltimore Orioles. So, he's got some trophies.
One.
Yeah, just the one.
It doesn't make sense to me.
It's ridiculous, dude. Ridiculous. So, yeah, working backwards from that game, that was obviously, the last play of the game, absolutely beautiful. Kyle Higashioka coming through with two RBI last night, productive out on the sack fly, and of course the big bomb was great. We talked Monday about the swings that he was getting off. He had a couple good swings last night. Actually, I think three really good swings last night, and one of them left the park. Just quiet dude, goes out, does his job, just phenomenal.
And doesn't always work that way where you heat up the last couple of days of the season and it carries over to the playoffs, but it definitely felt like that was part of Kyle Higashioka, like making some better swings the last few days, and it was good to see it because we mentioned it yesterday. There's always the surprising star in the playoffs.
Oh,
the guy who you don't really expect to contribute offensively who does step up. And yesterday it was definitely Kyle Higashioka.
Well, and obviously the lion's share of the credit last night, 90% of it goes to, well, two people split between Mike Schilt and Michael King. Mike Schilt for having the wherewithal, the gumption, whatever word you want to use to say.
He would use gumption.
He would use gumption. Yeah. I love gumption. No, you're thinking of gumbo.
Give me a nice big bowl of gumption.
I love gumption.
Grit and gumption.
Grit and gumption. And to say, this is who we're going with. And for him to be rewarded by Michael King's performance last night, he was a magician. He was an artist. He was painting. He was brilliant. It was just so satisfying to watch. It was aesthetically everything you wanted. He didn't get into deep counts. He just attacked the zone, Benny. And I can't say enough good things about what that guy has done. And also, it doesn't hurt. He's literally the nicest guy that we've ever covered. Literally. Like, there's no one nicer and kinder and better than Michael King. And to see him have that success for our team is just incredible. And he's an incredible dude and incredible pitcher.
Gave up those two soft singles in the first inning, had the runners on the corners, strikes out the side, gets Soler looking, foolish on a swing. And I heard Kyle Higashioka say after the game, or Michael King said that Kyle said, hey, let's save some of those strikeouts for later in the game. It's great, but we don't need so many strikeouts. Well, he just kept piling them up the entire game. It wasn't really about soft contact. It was about the swing and miss. He had still pretty efficient. I mean, they took him out, and he was still 89 pitches, yep. I think, after seven innings. In fact, I saw some people going, you sure you want to take him out of the game right there? And Mike Schilt said, well, a fourth time through the order was coming up. We got our bullpen. We believe in those guys. And yeah, I don't think Mike Schilt made any missteps in that game yesterday.
But, nor do I.
Michael King now arguably the best postseason first start
in history.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, there's been great postseason games. It was number two in Padres history in terms of strikeouts behind Kevin Brown's 16 strikeout masterpiece in the division series.
How
in 1998.
How far did he go in that game?
I think he went eight in that game, if I'm remembering correctly, against the Astros. But that wasn't his first playoff start. This was Michael King's first playoff start. Seven shutout innings. And he was kind of mad. He said, kind of wish I had given up fewer than five hits.
Yeah.
Only one, I think, actually had a hard exit velocity. The Michael Harris, the second opposite field, kind of hard grounder through the hole past Donovan Solano. But worked out all those early jams pretty efficiently. And then really wasn't threatened much after that. The Braves just had no answer for the tunneling. Sweeper that looked like it was a strike. I mean, some of the swings he got on balls that were literally 4 feet outside
Darno.
That looked like they were strikes at the beginning. And They just looked hopeless up there. Hopeless.
Makes you want to, if you're a young player and you're watching that game, it's one of those performances you go, I can't do this. There's no way I'll be able to succeed at that level if that's the kind of stuff that they're throwing. The sinker that he threw to Soler that tied him up in the first inning to get out of the inning. Oh, my God, Benny. It was art, man. It really was. And no walks is just beautiful. You cannot walk guys. You cannot walk guys in that lineup because they will hurt you. And you didn't. You went out. You threw up a shutout. 12 Ks. David Knight and you know, there's a lot of David Cone. There's a lot of Michael King and David Cone and Michael King. They were kind of similar type pitchers. He was talking about how he doesn't have a lot of whiffs tonight. When he gets ahead, that's when he's like, all right, I will absolutely, this is when I'm going to use my most devastating pitch to get the strikeout. And he did. Normally a guy with that many Ks, Ben, the pitch count is a lot higher, but he would just dot the first pitch, get a foul ball, and then attack. He was brilliant. Brilliant. I just couldn't be happier for him.
The thought process of Fernando Tatis Jr. just to be ready to attack. And he said, I was going up there hunting a fastball and planning to swing out of my shoes on that first pitch. And I've got to imagine that A.J. Smith-Shawver, after the game, waking up going, why did I try to get a fastball by him on the first pitch? Yeah. That's not good thinking on my part. Because, you think of Tatis. What does he want to do? You got this electric crowd, record crowd, sellout. He wants to make an early statement. He might be hunting a fastball. And if you're going to throw one, you certainly can't throw it there at 94.
How do you
on the inner half? A huge mistake by Smith-Shawver.
Yeah, after the AB to arise, and you almost got him to K. You know, he swung at ball four up in the zone, and then Luis Arraez does what Luis Arraez does and just serves it to the left side. And then Tatis comes up. The crowd is going wild. How do you not pull the string on a changeup first pitch there? And then he's done. He's done for. You throw 93, 94, man, like, you're going to be able to spot that up, but you cannot throw that first pitch to him.
So I was in the press box, and I was in the top row, so you can't see. Once the ball goes in the air too high, you can't see it. But most home runs stay low enough where, okay, I can tell that's gone. That was hit so high, we all thought, oh, that must be a flyout. There's no way you can hit a ball with there was a 39-degree launch angle and get it out of the park. In fact, it was the highest launch angle at the highest exit velocity of any home run this season. There was only one other ball hit all year at that 112 and 39, and it was a flyout, 388 feet. But that one was one of the more spectacular, impressive home runs I've seen in person in my life.
It took about 13 minutes to come down. I mean, I could not believe
Laureano was going back, and I go, okay, he's going to settle under it. Yeah. It's like, when is this ball reemerging from... You know, it disappeared like 8 seconds ago, and I still haven't seen it come down. Where did this ball go? Because I can't see it. And then finally comes down up in the second deck, and I'm going, holy moly.
It got me.
It's Fernando Tatis Jr.
I shot out of bed. Like, I was laying on my bed. I shot like a cannon out of bed and just was like, F yeah. I couldn't believe it. I thought I blew out my voice totally after that. It was brilliant, man. Our buddy Baseball Nick was in the house. He said Petco was shaking when that happened. I love that, man. I love that.
It was amazing. Record-setting crowd, which we've said 25 times this year.
No, 46 times, pretty much. I mean,
they somehow are getting more and more fans in there. And every big game, it's the new attendance record. And I think it was 47,600.
Did a Braves fan catch it? Somebody said, I think a Braves fan
caught it. Were there Braves fans there?
I saw like two.
I didn't see any Braves fans.
Adam Kluge was there.
Right. Okay, I saw three then. Yeah, three. I did see Adam.
Yeah, that's insane, man. Absolutely insane. How many record crowds can you have, Doomslayer? That's a great question. I think we're going to push the envelope here.
I mean, whatever I expect them to break it tonight.
Whatever the fire marshal says that we can do, I think we will do. Why wouldn't you, man? That place was electric on television. You guys were there. It is just incredible, man. Just incredible. The dugout dirt says 97.3 not having a familiar voice till late night was dog s. I don't know what that means, man. I wish I could help you. Like, on the air after the game, Sammy was on the air.
Sammy did the whole pre and post-game show, went late into the night last night.
Clarify your comment, please, sir.
So, after the game, and I want to get to this coming up, Fernando Tatis Jr. had some really really poignant comments about Peter Seidler. And, you know, we've heard Fernando speak enough, and, you know, we kind of understand what he's focused in on the game, but he really took a moment at the podium at the press conference last night to actually reveal a little bit more than had been previously known about his relationship with Peter Seidler. And I want to play some of that for you when we come back at the top of the hour. If you missed it, some really, really good stuff after the game from Fernando Tatis Jr. I want to talk about what you want to see from the bullpen going forward as well. Only used two guys yesterday, Adam and Suarez. What's the plan today? Is it hopefully as obvious as I think it is? We will talk about that as well. And take on Woods, all coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan.